Culture Digital. Hear all about digital humanities and listen to international experts. A virtual culture production.
Maybe let's start with you introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your background.
Yes, hello. My name is Soren Malti. I work at RISE, the Research and Infrastructure Support Entity of the University of Basel, and at the Institute for European Global Studies, where I'm a data steward. I have a background in software engineering. I have been doing that for nearly 15 years and then started my studies of history and digital humanities at the University of Basel, where I'm currently doing my master's.
Thank you, that's interesting. For people who don't know, could you explain what a data steward does?
A data steward is a kind of a link between a research institute and the group of data stewards at the university. So on one hand, it's a network of digital knowledge or of knowledge on how to proceed in digital projects, because there's lots of different fields. It can be about copyrights, but also about data cleaning, data processing, or storing data in a fair environment, so it's findable and reusable. So we help further digital research projects in our institutes and form a tight-knit network to help each other out with digital research questions.
Nice, it sounds good. And what was your role in the Curiositas project?
I would describe it as a data scientist role or a data role in general. I tidied up data. I tried to introduce some kind of scheme so we can talk about the data in a more structural way. And so in the end, we had the challenge of having a front end where we wanted to present data, and we had we were given data in very different states. So it was the metadata and all the data tied to these photographs or whatever they were, were very different. So we had to organize them, we had to harmonize them, and we had to find a way to give them to a front end so it could be properly displayed.
Could you give a concrete example of how you tidied data?
For example, the normalization of dates. Imagine that we, for example, worked with lots of historical prints, and in the catalogs we were given, there were the dates inscribed like they were inscribed on the paper. So it was like a little sentence. It was, and so we had to normalize it to a machine-readable date. Or they were in different orders, so day first, month first, whatever. So we had to recognize patterns and then format those dates so they were human readable and machine readable, and they were sortable. So now in the front end, we were able to sort from the oldest to the newest, which wasn't possible before because the machines couldn't read this unstructured data. Classical example.
Is this tidying something that you do by hand, or is it something that you can automate?
Well, in theory, I would say this is fully automatable. In practice, it seldomly is. So it is a mix. What we try to do in this example is we try to search for patterns where we got really far with it, and then we're able to format, say, 80-90% of the dates, and the very curious ones where they had no standard at all, which is transcribed by hand. Then, okay. Or not at all. I mean, that some dates just were not real dates, or they were incomplete in the source, so we weren't able to really have the proper machine readable date. But this is also part of the process of cleaning data, right? So you can attribute that something does not have a date and therefore is not sortable, and this work is mainly automated but also has its manual part.
And the second part that you described was taking this data and making it available to a front end. Mm-hmm. Could you explain a bit more what that means?
Well, what we want to do is we want to divide the front end from the back end, so to speak. So we want to have the presentation separate from the actual data. And this is a very important process, because in a front end where you show data, you arrange them, or you have a certain size of an image you want to display, or you have a text you want to display. This is maybe also a translated text in a certain language. So this is not raw data. This is very much curated data. And in the back end, you have all the data, which is just blobs of data, of images, of text, of metadata. And now what you want to do is ideally create an API, so an interface where a front end can access the back end in a structured way. So say, give me a certain object, or give me a certain representation of a certain object. And the result is that we have the possibility to present data as we want, but still store it as we should, because this is a very, normally what is presented is just a fraction of what is there in data. So it is very important to make this curation. And if you can do it over a structured API where a front-end developer and a project leader together can define what they want to get from a back-end, then you have the most freedom in designing these systems. So ideally you want to have these two layers completely separated and only connected by API.
That makes sense. And what were the challenges in the project in doing these tasks that you just described?
Timeline is one of the biggest challenges, I guess. So imagine we were given data at some point in time in this project, like irregularly. We got some exports from museums and this is one thing, and the other thing is that imagine there was a team who was concerned with content really, and they were trying to build a narrative, to build a presentation, and to build context and so on. And this always meant that we added objects to our collection, or that we searched for different objects, or when it comes to prints, that we added pages from a certain print to this. And so because we worked with a system, an existing system where we were able to put data in, it was a lot of organizational work of versioning the data, of seeing which parts were already in the database, which parts need to be updated. And because this backend database was not accessible programmatically, but over an interface in a browser, this was a lot of manual work. So the organization of what to put in, when into the database, what was already put in, what we wanted to put in again, because we did something with the data. For example, we had 3D representations of data, and we redid them several times to optimize for size and for presentation and stuff. So we had to reintroduce this updated data points to this backend, and so it was more of an organizational problem than it was a technical problem. And if a project would be like so, that the data scientists in the last week can take all this stuff and then do one schema and do one import, it would be a lot easier from a data scientist perspective, but that's not how these projects work, right? They are living things, and so is this process of data refurbishing.
That was just going to be my next question, if this is something that you think can be prevented, or if this is just a natural part of these kind of projects, that they are iterative. So I understood this is basically what happens, where you gather data, you have a question, and then you get new questions through the data. How could you make it easier? So how could it's not feasible that you would have all the data at the end, because you're working on the presentation and you're working on the curation mm-hmm. all the time. But how could you make it easier?
Well, I think there's two parts to it. Like, one part is an organizational part. It has nothing to do with tech, mm-hmm. technical stuff, really, which is like a strong project leader who defines when data is added, or, you know, creates a timeline with milestones. So it's not, as it often is, like a phone call. Could you do it in the next 10 minutes because I'm on it kind of thing, but a defined workflow. This is like the organizational part of it, and also a designed workflow, but a technical one. I can make an example. I'm working on a project currently where we are working with Transcribo's exports, and these exports, they change all the time because they do tagging and stuff, and Transcribo's also messes up exports in between because they are like in development, right? So we have a technical workflow where we just can press the button with the export, and if we mess it up, we just press the button with the next export again. And so if they change one page or 200 pages or all of the 4,500 pages, I don't care, I just press the button. And this needs to have a well-defined input format and a well-defined output format in order to work. And I feel that in the FASH project, we were developing these input and output formats while we were implementing the project. And I feel that if this was the first step in a project where what we get from museums or from these institutions is well-defined, and what we want to output is well-defined, we can develop workflows on a technical level which make life much easier. This wasn't that much the case in the FASH project. Mm-hmm. We had several things we could automate like date extraction, or also, I don't know, information extraction from some XML format or something. But, I mean, there were data points in completely new formats on a weekly basis, especially at the end of the project. And this does not help with a very structured way to address these problems. And so I feel these are the two main things, like a very tight project monitoring from a project leading person, and very well defined in and out performance in order to create technical workflows to make life easier.
You mentioned the museums. In an ideal world, you've got three different, or in the FASH project, we had three different parties. We had the museums, we had the technical team, and then there's the researchers. What do you think the roles are, or what should each of these three parties bring to the project?
This is a very difficult question for me, because I'm not sure now from the FASH project who was the stakeholder from a results perspective. I mean, who defined what we want to, where we want to get, right? This was for sure the science team, but it also was the museums, weren't they? That they had some stakes there. What I felt is that the museums in this project, but this is something I just say because I wasn't very involved in that part of the project, is that they didn't have a vision for what it what the result should be, but the historians had, or these people involved, right? And so I didn't see the museums or these institutions as stakeholders in the project, but really as deliverers of data. And so from my perspective, they were more a client of the science team, and the science team, they developed the narrative, they developed the design and the way they wanted to present the data. And the museums more just were happy to have their stuff represented and made visible, but they weren't part of this narrative. And I feel that in other projects, this might change the other way around. And so this points, for me, this points to the importance of this science team, or of this team of people who are familiar with the content of whatever you want to do, and that they need to coordinate this stuff. And if this is necessary, that the institutions, the museums or whatnot, have a vision for the project, that they like structure this vision. They need to go to the institutions and say, well, we have a project, what do you want to do? And they need to do that structured, because that's their ability, right? I don't think the institutions, they come with the mindset of, this is a project, this has milestones, this has, you know, this is a structured way of doing stuff, and there's technology involved and all that. I think it for the museums, it's nowadays also just another way to be more visible, and so they are happy to do it. But in this particular project, I didn't think that the museums were stakeholders, so to speak, but deliverers of data. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Maybe I could also rephrase the question. So from your technical point of view, what would you want the other two parts to give you, or how would you want them to work together with you?
This might sound rude, but I would love to have one single person or one single team or you know, like a single point where I can get all my information. And I feel that this science team should be this place, or one person within there, and that they should do the communication with these institutions. And it is fruitful if technical people join these conversations when it comes to, how are we going to export the database? What kind of metadata do we have? What can we or do want? Do we want to give? And how can we present and structure it? But in the development of a general vision on how to present a narrative, there's no need for technical personnel to be involved, or just on the periphery, I think. So from my perspective, I love the idea of having this team of historians or whatever scientists they are, who develop this vision of the project, and they take their knowledge from the technical side of view, from someone like me and they take their vision from what they want to present from these institutions, and they are like the center of it all, and they also have the ability to steer the project, but also the need, or there is the need that they structure it very well. And so you need this in-between thing. I don't think otherwise it would work.
Mm. I was just asking, maybe from my own point of view, I work as a project manager in digital projects, and it's always the question of the person who has the subject knowledge says, well, tell me what is technically possible. And the technical people say, well, I don't know, what do you want to do? And so it's always the discussion between the two. That's why. I think we're at an interesting point in time where I think once the subject experts will have more knowledge about the digital tools, we will be at a completely different point.
Yeah, and I agree. I also think that, I mean, the answer to this question is always everything's possible, how much money you got and how much time you got and how much people you got, right? So yeah, I mean, this is not a question which is in any way furthering anything, right? But it has to be discussed. And so I agree completely that we still lack the language to speak to each other a little bit. And also because of that, we need those project manager persons in between all the stakeholders of a project, because they have the language to speak with the institutions, but also with the technical people, right? And so this is very important. It's also something I think a lot of times is not addressed enough. And I've been in meetings where tech people speak with, let's call them content people, and I just they both speak, but they're not talking with each other, right? Because they don't have like this language where mm-hmm. where someone concerned with content can say to a technical person what he wants, or the technical person, they understand databases, but not mm-hmm. like historic problems or something. Mm-hmm. So I think these persons in between are very important, and you can't do without them.
Is this something that you personally learnt in this project that you take with you and you think, okay, next time I would do this differently? I mean, you already mentioned the input that kept changing.
Well, I wasn't involved in this project from the start. Mm-hmm. I would have insisted on milestones and the installation of workflows as I described them before. This is always just, I mean, you try to do something and you fail like most of the time, but you have to try, because then also you answer a lot of questions on the way when you try to create like strict workflows or strict milestones in a project. And you talk about prioritization, you talk about what part of the data is important, and you talk about if we don't have enough time, which part are we going to do first? And all these questions are important, and they only emerge when you talk structure and timelines. So that's like my general answer to this. But I also know that you can do this in every project and you will fail along the way. I still think it's important that one does this. So I'm not sure if I would have insisted at the beginning of the program project that anything would have been different. But I think I would have been aware of some problems I wasn't aware for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what was your personal motivation to join the project?
Persons involved, I work well with them, and I mean, I had time and I was asked, and it's also, I mean, this is one answer. And I mean, I am highly concerned, or this is one of my main things I do every day, is how do we get data to people in a way that it's interesting, or not even interesting, but it is proper, maybe. And how do we do this split between fairly stored data, which is hopefully accessible in 100 years' time, and also the shiny web page database thingy we know in the internet, right? And I think there's a lot of potential there, also like automated potential, that, because I mean, we've got a lot of data repositories which do this fair data standards, and I think we need to develop ways where we can reference this data or get this data and just out of the box generate some web page, some database, and then it's there for 5 years, and after 5 years it's broken because this new gadget which visualizes something does not work anymore. But this doesn't matter, because the original data is still there, and this is not on the same servers, this is not managed by the same people, this is also a very different challenge for a technical person, like making a front end or being concerned with storing data for a long-term repositories, or for giving persistent identifiers. There are a lot of different, very difficult tasks along the way. And I think we need to really be concerned to make islands of fields, like long-term repository is one field, data presentation is another field, generating APIs between those two points is another field. And we can't think that this is going to be one person doing all that stuff. There's going to be different persons. So we need APIs, or we need interfaces between those things. And that's what I try to do the whole day, providing interfaces for data to have them present something. So I lost myself a little bit there, but
that it doesn't.
That's what I think is important, that we. we address these things very, very strictly, and also we have them separated, and this is, yeah, this is important.
And your focus was on more on the database side and not on the presentation. You mentioned it's important to have proper data and to have fair data. Again, just in case somebody doesn't know, can you describe what FAIR data is?
FAIR is an acronym for findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. It is a standard or a defined way on how to store data somewhere, and this does not mean this needs to be a special database or a special technology, but it means that it should give these possibilities, what the acronym stands for, so also in the future, and also other projects should be able to find data when it was used. They should be able to access it, so they can download it as a data set or something. If the metadata has been made properly, but just let's leave it at that. It's a huge field, but let's just say made properly, then it means it's interoperable, because let's say it is two databases about persons, and both mark a gender for those persons. If these two data points are marked in the same way, you just can make comparisons. And then reusable, well, if you make this comparison, you reused your data, and the sad truth about data is that data from a project very seldomly gets reused. And so with these standards, we hope that we can present data in a way that other scientists can use them again, find them, and access them. And one thing of this is storing it somewhere, but the other thing is also presenting it somewhere, also not even for a science community, but also for the general public, which for me personally is an important part, because all this research is paid by the public, so it should be accessible by the public, I feel.
FAIR is a very important principle, and you mentioned interoperability. Are there international standards? So have they developed? Do we really have, for every kind of data set, do we have a standard of what interoperable means?
No, not at all. If you know about them, then please tell me. But I work with historical data normally, and not with data from the hard sciences, right? And I feel that for the hard sciences, the data is more uniform. So a gene is a gene is a gene, right? So you have ways which are very standardized and which are very well documented and everything to save this sort of data. But when it comes to, say, historic projects, the data sets are much more heterogeneous. So it's hard to have these data sets which mean everything. Also, when it comes to text, we have, for example, the TEI standard, an XML standard to structure documents or text, and that's a huge standard, and it can do very many things. But every day there's someone stumbling upon one case which can't be solved with TEI, because the standard does not provide a vessel for some special data point. And so I think what we can't do is like the hard sciences do, have these big structures, but we can have tiny structures. We can say if we reference a person, then we have a person schema, or a reference person instance schema, or if we reference like physical objects or whatnot, we can have schemas for that. And there is stuff. I don't feel like there is an international like historic standard or something where you just can download person instance schemas, but there's a lot going on. There's a lot of people thinking about how they want to store their data. And so if someone has already stored, I don't know, data about ships passages, it's a good idea to go and look how they did it. And if you think the schema is valuable, then reuse it. And then you create interoperability like automatically. But I think for the stuff we are doing in the humanities, it's much more difficult to have like common schemas and common structures, because our sources are so different, and they aren't uniform at all. And also within the same source, I mean, I have been parsing the Asia directories, which is a list of persons, and these are over the years 900,000 entries, and we identified I think over 250 ways they were printed structurally over the years, and I mean we found different patterns in the same book even. So that's what you have to deal with, and so it's much harder to have like these schemas in the humanities than it is in more exact sciences. Mm-hmm. But still there are possibilities, I think. And for me, one of the most important things is to get everything out of the data as is, and not the second part, the structuring part, is a difficult part, right? Because, I mean, you can structure dates, a date is a date, right? But then you can try to structure and like build ontologies, and there you have also examples on the web how to build ontologies. And I feel that this is not a good way to overload your actual data. So I'd rather have just saying, I don't know, something is an object, a physical object, or something is a person, and not like then put an ontology or like say, okay, this is object, this is a vase, this is from made from something, or I don't know, and then think that this ontology you put on top of your object really helps in this vast amount of data, because everyone uses different ontologies, because the ontology is not defined by how the object is, but how the object is looked at in this certain project, right? And so I feel that the most important thing when it comes to structuring data is structure what it is, what is there actually, right? And not... In, at least in the first step, I mean, the second step is important for your own project, but it's not as important for the data to be stored somewhere, to be reused, I feel, because those ontologies aren't the same for everyone.
So did I understand you correctly? Basically, first create an ontology for your own project with the existing data, and then because of interoperability, you would still look to see how other people's have created ontologies and see if they are useful, and if you can map the two.
Yeah, or not work with ontologies at all, and create ontologies for your project and not for your data, and then take data and see how it works with your ontologies. Because I really don't think ontologies, or I haven't seen an example of ontologies which is truly, let's say, neutral, like in a way of... Because it's not possible, because it's the humanities. That's what I'm saying, right? And it is so much work that it. I mean, if it was just automatically done, I would say, well, just do it. But this is manual work normally, right? And then you say, okay, this person, this has been a priestess and also like a noble woman, and then you create this artificial net of information over your data, which is very useful for your own project because you're talking about priestesses, right? But for someone else who's just looking at persons from that period of time, this is not useful. And you still can publish it. You still can publish your data and your ontology. Just don't mix them up. That's what I would say.
Okay, thank you. That's clear. I've asked all my questions. Is there anything like a last thing we haven't asked you that is important to you? What would you recommend to people who have never done a digitization project before and they want to start now?
Talk to people, inform yourself. I made fun of your question you asked earlier. What can you do? If you ask a technical person, what can you do? And the answer is always, yeah, well, everything. It depends on your money and time. And I think that you are not forced to pose this question, right? What can you do? It, or that you can go the vision into a project and say, well, I want to go in that direction, is very important, which also means that your vision of a project is not just digitization or just being digital, right? This is useless. This is in the same form. You print the book, you can present it in the web, but you do it for a reason, for the stuff which is in the book, not just because of the physical object, because we like books, right? And so that would be for me an important thing, because I get approached regularly by people who have done their work, and they ask me, and now what do we do with the digital, right? And there is no vision there's just this feeling of I've written a text, now I need to print a book, right?
I should be doing something,
right? And so I feel if you speak to people who have done these projects and who have also like gathered the fruits of what these projects can mean, then you can start to develop a vision. And if you come to me, at least, with a vision, I'm ecstatic for your project. If you come to me just with the need to make a homepage, then I'm not as ecstatic. So that's a wish from me to know how these things should be approached.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.